And I got corrected. It's September 15th is our remote at Marvell Masonry and Central Phoenix. September will be focusing in our home maintenance calendar on fall gardening. We're going to back it back up here to the spring, but fall is another great time in Arizona. In fact, I've heard Jay say many times that he you prefer the fall garden season over the spring one.
Well, I prefer fall over spring, period, just because I know the temperatures are going in the right direction. I was talking to somebody yesterday at a nursery, and we were saying how beautiful. I said, yeah, the only problem is we know what's coming. So, you know, starts those 75, 80-degree days soon become 85 and 90-degree. If it could just stay there a little longer, you know. But it is what it is. But
then we'd really have a population problem.
True. True, especially if they keep having winters like they're having back east, right?
Right. Let's get to Mark at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you from San Manuel. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Rosie. Hey, my question is on that diatomaceous earth in the garden. Do you go sprinkle it all over the garden and, you know, shake it out on the garden and till it in? Or how do you apply that?
Well, you can till it in if you're trying to control pests that are deeper into the soil, emerging and crawling out that way. Typically, though, what we want to happen is for the pest to walk through it. So most often it's either applied on top of the soil, or you can make a band or a barrier around the garden with it or around the expansion joints around your house, or so they have to walk through this to get into the house or walk through it to get into the garden. But if they're already in the garden area, just sprinkling it on top of the ground is probably the most effective way to use that.
Okay, excellent. That's what I need to know.
It's a lot like eating crawfish. When you're done handling it, you go wash your hands before you touch anything else. If you're getting a little sweat on your eyebrow, the food grade obviously doesn't hurt, but you look like you just walked out of a powder room if you touch anything on your clothes or your forehead or you're wiping sweat off. When you're done with that diatomaceous earth, that fine powder, you got to go scrub off before you touch anything else, or it just leaves this white coating.
It's a little hard to use without getting it a lot of places you don't want to.
Now, with the moisture, would you still put it on the ground while it's still a little wet? Well, you definitely don't want to store it where it would get wet.
We're correct. But if the soil is damp or moist, that shouldn't be an issue. Now, if we have a lot of moisture after you've applied it, you may need to reapply it again. So it's one of those things you can put a little bit on all the time. It won't, you know. If you want to kind of fight that battle a little bit all the time, it's not a bad thing to just keep a little dusting of it out there.
Very economical in pricing.
It's not expensive, and it goes a long ways. You know, you can scatter it, or like I said, you don't need to put it everywhere. If you want to just make a little band of it in places, that works too.
Handful of lawn questions have come in, both email and text. Ride to Bermuda. Are we ready for that transition yet?
No, hopefully not. Because that means
you
it's
said summer's
hot.
Coming, but hopefully it's not.
Hopefully it's only the middle of February. Hopefully we got middle of April before that really starts to rear its head. And usually it'll tell you itself. You'll notice all of a sudden we get a couple of warm days, and boom, we got a spot in the ryegrass that starts to look a little stressed or dies out. Now, we've had such a relatively warm winter that a lot of the Bermuda grasses have, if they're getting adequate moisture, have started to green up on their own. But as far as just forcing the transition, if you have a winter or a ryegrass or cool season lawn into the summer lawn, there's no need to do that yet. But we do want to force the issue once we get into April, because invariably what happens, people that don't make that transition happen on it, it doesn't do it on its own very well anymore. These ryegrasses linger way longer into the summer than they should or than the Bermuda grasses can tolerate. And consequently, what happens in about the first of August, when we have, you know, the high humidity and the warm nights and the ryegrass finally does die that you didn't think was still there, but it is, and all of a sudden we have no lawn left at all. So we'll talk about that as we get closer, but there's no reason to be forcing that issue yet.
What about weeds? We've got this wonderful weather, a little bit of moisture. We love it. So do the weeds.
Yeah, and you know, you can tell that it's been drier because there really aren't many weeds and there aren't many African daisies or wildflowers popping up around in people's gravel yards this winter. But with this last little moisture, it probably will stimulate some. Obviously, from a time consciousness standpoint, using pre-emergence in areas that you can is your best bet to just prevent the weeds completely. Those have to be put on before the weed emerges, hence the name pre-emergent, and they have to be watered in to be activated. So if you could catch it, I think there's rain coming again next week, a couple days maybe. If you could get it on while the ground is still a little moist and before the next storm or two is a great way to do that. The second best time is to control weeds when they're very young and small, because you can either mechanically remove them with a hoe or a hula hoe or a rake before they start getting established. They're pretty easy just to scrape off. Or if you're going to spray them, they're much easier to control when they're young and tender and really starting to grow fast than waiting for them to get big and mature. The other thing that happens when they get big and mature, they produce seeds, and then the seeds fall on the ground, and we just repeat the process. So pre-emergent or control it when you first see the green starting to come up.
You mentioned applying it now and maybe a little bit of moisture next week soaks it in. If we don't get that rain, how long will it be good out there that I've got to go back and follow it with a water hose to soak it in?
Oh, you could probably up to 30 days is no issue. But if you let it go too long, the sun will break it down, the heat will break it down, and you'll lose your effectiveness.
You've got to get it moist, get
pretty
it soaked
quick
into the soil.
Yep.
What do you like for a pre-emergent?
Well, you know, there's a bunch of products out there from, you know.
You can't say free-range chickens.
Well, that wouldn't be pre-emergent because they got to come up for that before
that's
they can,
true.
Before they can
post-emergent.
Harvest them. But, you know, if you look for a product with has dimension in it, the reason that I like that is it does control spurge, and it seems to be our biggest nemesis, especially in the hot weather. And it spreads rapidly, and it's just become a pretty big issue in our landscape, even in nurseries. So any product that has the active ingredient dimension in it is pretty darn effective, especially if you're going into spring with this application to control the spurge.
With the adaption of technology into the radio program, where the old days it was just the phone, or people would write letters and you'd have physical paper letters that you'd read on air, with texting and email now, you can always tell in this hour what people are doing. If they're on hold, they're sitting inside or they're sitting around, they've got time to kill, they want to chit-chat, ask the question. When everything is coming in email and text, you can tell they're out there right now. They're busy in their garden. They're working.
Hopefully they're not driving.
No, they're just not stopping from their break. We've got back to our question earlier, our conversation earlier when we were talking watering. This individual has a great wraparound container garden up on the west and south side of their house. And they're just looking for solutions to reduce the amount of time it takes to water that, and wanted to know about a soaker hose. And if you're using a soaker hose, what are the best practices? Do you bury it? Does it have to be on an angle? What kind of timer do you put it on?
Well, there's a number of different soaker applications. There's the drip type that have, you know, perforations every so often. There's also the quarter-inch tubing that just has literally an emitter spot built into it ever so often. And those both work pretty well. And those probably are best just laid right on top of the – so especially if it's a container garden that you're going to be changing relatively often, you can just lay those on top of the soil and just kind of snake them in and around and through the areas that need to get wet. As far as how long to run them, that's kind of trial and error. You just need to turn it on and see how long it takes for that to get the entire area moist. So the first time is just a manual run and time it. And then you can set your timer up, you know, so it runs the length of time needed to do that. That will never change. What will change is the frequency that you do it at. So obviously the hotter it gets, the more frequent it will need that. The cooler it gets, the least often. So that's the one that you're just going to have to kind of watch the soil moisture, watch the plants, and have to adjust that accordingly.
You don't like to change the amount of water you're putting on. You just like to change the frequency.
And that goes for water and trees, shrubs, anything. That duration should really never change. What should change is our frequency. We want to be watering to the proper depth if we're watering with drip plants in the ground. And that's where the little brochure that's put out by AMWA, the Landscape Watering by the Numbers, is really a nice tool. So you can figure out how many gallons of water it takes to get to a certain depth, and based on the size of the plant, how many gallons you need to cover that plant appropriately to get to that depth. So once you figure that out, then the frequency is a little bit the wild card, and that obviously is a seasonal change. And of course, it may be an environmental change. If it rains or that sort of thing, you have to be able to adjust. You can. A lot of people are starting to go to the smart timers, the smart controllers that have a little weather station built in that will do some of that adjusting for you. So that's if you just really want a no-brainer, no thinking, set it up. Getting it set up can be a little bit of a challenge, but once it's set up and going, then those will make those adjustments based on temperature and moisture and rainfall all on its own.
And most of these you can find at Sprinkler World, Ewing, John Deere, which is now Site One or One Site?
Site One? Site One, I believe.
Site One.
Horizon, yeah. Oh. Uh-huh.
Grand.
And sometimes the smart controllers, Salt River Project or some of the cities might participate in a little rebate program with you if you purchase one of those. But just be prepared to do a little reading. They're not, you don't just plug them in and go. They've got to have a little bit of work and setup time devoted to them.
That's always the kicker.
There's always a catch, right? Nothing's that easy.
Nothing's quite that easy, but it's certainly a lot easier than it has been in the past.
Well, absolutely. And even regular controllers that don't have that feature built into them are very, very flexible. I mean, you can run this valve, you know, two times a day every day, and this valve, you know, for an hour once a week, and the other one once a month, and you know, all of that flexibility is built into these controllers now.
A texter wanted to know, how do I get a lawn to look like a golf course? Well, I'll tell you, the golf courses, they do a lot of sneaky things, like when they apply their liquid fertilizers or pre-emergence, they put green dyes in there, and they color it. And there's a lot of neat little tricks that a big golf course budget can get. But if you're trying to get this for your home on a homeowner's budget, that's where Bonide's Weed Beater Complete comes in handy. It's a total lawn control product that is labeled for over 200 types of weeds that grow in your grass that can take it over. It's available in a spreader application. You can find Bonide products that are family made in America across the entire state of Arizona. If you're in the Prescott area, Waters Garden Center up on Iron Springs. If you're in Mesa, Treeland Nurseries, and for Tucson, you can get out to Mesquite Valley Growers.